So we're in our sermon series, How We Grow, learning all about spiritual disciplines. And so this summer, we've been going through different spiritual disciplines, using God's Word, using the book, Celebration of Discipline by Richard J. Foster, to look at different spiritual disciplines, how these ancient practices that the early church practice that unfortunately we have forgotten, how do we implement those into our lives today in 2026? And so what are the things that we can do to implement those things into our lives today? So this morning we're going to be talking about the spiritual discipline of service. So I invite you to join me in a word of prayer this morning as we go to God's Word. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together. Thank you for allowing us to share and to hear the truth of the Scriptures. So, Father, as I share this morning, may the words I say be words that come from you and not from me. May our lives be changed and transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn to John chapter 13. While you're there, I'm going to admit something to you. So they never told me in seminary that being a pastor, you end up telling on yourself a lot. And so I have to admit that when I was in seminary, I actually got to read a book by Robert Greenleaf called Servant Leadership. So before reading that book on servant leadership, I aspired to leadership. I wanted to be a leader, but I did not truly understand what it meant to lead, what it actually meant to be a leader, to be someone that led. I thought that me being like in front of people and being in charge and telling people what to do, like that was leadership. That was leading. But in his book, Servant Leadership, he says, no, the one that serves is truly the one that should be leading. And so something I learned is that if service is below you, that leadership is beyond you. I'll say that again. If service is below you, then leadership is beyond you. See, we're all called to serve. We're all called to be servants. We see the example of Jesus Christ being the one who served. And so that's an important part of our lives, a spiritual discipline of service. And so one of the things that I had to start doing is realizing I couldn't just go and have on a hat of a boss, but I had to be willing to get my hands dirty. This is my favorite apron, by the way, so if I'm ever cooking, you'll see me wearing this one, especially barbecuing. But I had to be willing to get an apron, have something that I'm okay wiping my hands on, getting dirty, an important part of serving. And so I couldn't just have the hat of a boss. I had to be one who served, who was willing to wear an apron, willing to serve. So we look in John chapter 13. If you were here last week, we read this passage, but it applies to this week too. So John chapter 13, start reading in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God, was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." So picture this image here. Jesus, fully God, fully man, gets a towel. He wraps it around his waist, realizing this towel is stained from just use, from life. He gets a basin, he gets a pitcher, he pours water in it and begins to wash the feet of the disciples. See, Jesus was willing to be a servant. He was willing to do things that only the servants in the household did. See, for us, it's kind of a weird thing talking about washing feet. I've had an opportunity to do it in different settings over the years. And serving in ministry in New York City, we wash the feet of homeless members of the community. Wash each other's feet during worship services in college. But I didn't quite understand what it meant for washing feet, because honestly, most of the time I'm in shoes that are closed toe. I'm not typically walking on dusty roads. And so this whole idea of washing feet was kind of a foreign concept to me. But see, during the time of Jesus, the roads in the region of Palestine were a mix of rugged local dirt tracks and ancient beaten paths. There were some paved Roman roads and highways, but those are few and far between in very early stages of being developed. See, most people traveled required walking or riding a donkey to get through, and they're wearing open-toed shoes. So when I say their feet got dirty, if it was raining, what does dirt turn to when you add water? Mud. Muddy, dirty, stinky feet. So one of the first things that happened when you get to someone's house, if they had a servant, is there is a basin of water and there was a towel, and the servant would go around and wash your feet before you came into the house. As part of you entering the house, you didn't track all this stuff through the house. Well, while they were gathered together, there was no servant to come and do this work. And so what does Jesus do? He changes their mind, turns things upside down, and says, "I am going to serve you and show you by example what it means to serve others." I thought about, as I was preparing for this message, about having a foot washing ceremony and something to go with it, and I thought, I'm going to freak people out if I start doing that. There are some people that are like, "I don't want my feet touched. I don't want anybody seeing my feet. I don't want my feet exposed." Like, we're not doing that. I'm not touching anybody else's feet. But it's an example of what it means to serve. See, Jesus constantly turns the ideas of the world upside down. He constantly takes what the world says should be happening and he flips it upside down and shows a new way of living, a new direction. We see examples of that in Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant. But it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 11. "The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." John chapter 12, starting in verse 23. "And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loses his life, whoever loves his life, loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." See, Jesus talks about this idea of service as being a good thing, of something we should be following, that we should be ones that are willing to serve those around us, willing to serve and not try to be exalted, not trying to put ourselves in a place of honor, not trying to be the one that is always the one who knows all the things, but we should be the one that's behind the scenes, that's serving. The one that's willing to humble ourselves, to live a life of humility and to serve. See, the early church, they understood Jesus' message of service. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." See, everything we do, all the work of service we do, is not to get glory from man. We serve because that is the example Jesus Christ has showed us, that we are to be those who serve those around us. And all of our acts of service are to be done unto the glory of God. Because see, if we're serving just to get praise from the people around us, can I be honest with y'all for a second? Anybody else forget to say thank you sometimes? Anybody else that forget to acknowledge when someone has done something and you forget to thank them? Anybody else forget to give praise on someone that's serving? So if you're waiting for the praise of somebody around you, of one of us, of your brother and sister in Christ, we're going to fail you. Not just sometimes, but a lot of times. Because we are fallen, broken, human, sinful people. But see, God will never fail you. And so all of our acts of service are not to be done for the glory of those around us. They're to be done to the glory of God. They're to be done for the glory of God. So that is what we are called to do. That is the service we are called to. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, lists out different types of service that we can experience. He says that service is not a list of things that we do, though in it we discover things to do. It is not a code of ethics, but a way of living. To do specific acts of service is not the same thing as living in the discipline of service. So the types of service that he talks about, the first one is hidden service. Those are kind of things that happen that you don't even know that they're going on or things are occurring. If you've been at this church for any amount of time, you may have noticed that some Sundays you walk in and all the colors have changed and there's decorations on the columns or all these things have changed. There's a woman in our church that does that. She doesn't do it for praise. She doesn't do it for people to be celebrated, but she does that, a hidden act of service. So it happens in the background. Most of the time, I don't even know what's going on. I just walk in at some point during the week, and I realize that things have changed. See, that's a hidden act of service. She's serving for the glory of God, but it's something that most of us would not notice or see is going on. The second one is the service of small things. So many times in our world today, everyone's always talking about the big things. I want to do bigger things, and I want to do a big thing, and I want to make a big impact, and I want to do these big things that are occurring, and I want the world to see all these big things happening. But spending time with someone in need, offering a rod for someone that needs it, dropping off a meal, inviting someone over to your house, those are the small things that can have a big impact. See, large tasks require great sacrifice for the moment, but small things require constant sacrifice. But can I tell you how many times just picking up the phone, calling someone, or stopping by their house and say, hey, how are you doing? It may seem like a small thing, but it can have a big impact on that person's life. Number three is service of charity. This is the service of guarding the reputation of others. How do we defend the reputation of others when they're not in the room? How do you react when someone is talking negatively about someone that is not in the room? Do you just go along with it? Or are you willing to guard their reputation and defend them and say, no, we don't talk about people like that? If you've got a problem with that person, you need to go and talk to them one-on-one and have a conversation with them. That's not the type of talk that we need to be utilizing. Can I say it's easier to stay quiet? It's easier to be silent. It's easier to just kind of nod. Even if you disagree with what they're saying, it's easier to not rock the boat. But are we willing to have the service of charity? Number four is the service of being served. Now, this was a weird one when I looked at it, but then I started thinking about all the people I know. You don't have to raise your hands, but there's probably people in this room that when someone wants to serve you, you're like, no, I'll get it. No, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll get it. See, that is the service of being served. It's okay to allow other people to serve you and for you to not always be the person that is serving. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to graciously receive service without feeling the need to repay it. The fifth one is the service of common courtesy. Titus 3:2 says we are to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. So one of the things that you will see if you get to know some missionaries and those that serve in cross-cultural contexts is they have to quickly learn what the common courtesy is for that area. They can't go in to an area and say, hey, do you know about Jesus? I need to tell you about Jesus. Hey, have you heard about Jesus? I need to share Jesus with you. They have to take the time to get to know them. In some cultures, there is a process for greeting someone that as Americans, we're like, can I just shake your hand and move on? But it's taking time to actually practice common courtesy, taking time to greet someone, taking time to acknowledge their presence, to acknowledge who they are, taking time to see if they're doing okay. That is something that unfortunately we get in a bit of a hurry sometimes. And I have to admit, sometimes I'm in too much of a hurry, that we aren't willing to practice common courtesy. But maybe that's something that we should be doing more and more in our lives. Maybe instead of stacking our schedule such that we have no margin, we have no space, no gap in our schedules, maybe we need to schedule meetings and schedule coffees or lunches with someone and put a 2-hour block for that time period. It doesn't mean it's going to take 2 hours. I don't know. But if it does take 2 hours, you're not worried about it, because you're taking the time just to be with that person. Number six is the service of hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 9 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Are we willing to practice hospitality in our homes? Here's a bigger one. Are we willing to practice hospitality in this church? Are we willing to open our doors and to welcome people in to our church? And number seven is the service of sharing the word. Are we willing to share with others what God has been speaking to us? I've been a follower of Jesus Christ, been in the church my whole life, follower of Jesus Christ since I was 4 years old. There are times in my life that I would read the Bible every day and I was faithful. There's times in my life that I wasn't. There are times in my life that I felt close to God, and there's times in my life that I felt like God was a million miles away. But those times in my life when I felt that I was the furthest away from God, you notice I say I felt I was furthest away. God is still the same and never changes. There would be someone that was reading a passage of scripture, had something that God had been sharing with them, and they shared it with me, and it meant the world to me. It helped me during my time of suffering, helped me when I felt the lowest, hearing from other people that were strong, that were carrying me along. And they didn't even know they were carrying me. But they were carrying me along to the feet of Jesus. See, that is a gifting that all of us have, a gifting that God has given us. There's times in our lives where we're like, yes, God's word is the only thing that I want. My relationship with God is strong. Those are the times that we lift up and carry our brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering. Those are the times that we share more compassion, more love. We share more of who God has called us to be. We share the truth of God's word with them. The truth of the scriptures with them. Because hearing that one word from God can have a huge impact on their life and on what they are going through. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 9, says, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Will you pray with me? Father God, help us to be those that are willing to serve. Help us be those that are willing to give of our lives, to give of our hearts, willing to lay down our ego, willing to lay down all the things around us, all the things that the world tells us we should do and who we should be. But help us be an example, as Jesus was an example to us, of what it means to serve, of what it means to truly live lives of service. And Father God, may the service we do not be for the glory of man, may it be to your glory. That everything we do, everything we say is to bring glory to God. So, Father, be with us as we strive to live lives that are pleasing to you. Be with us as we strive to be a people that surrender to you. People that are willing to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.